Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Christopher Howson has experienced pain in his life. He's been through hard times and suffered depression. He has even attempted suicide. Worst of all, he blamed the world for his problems. Christopher eventually realised he needed to master himself if he was ever to end the pain. So he started studying books on personal development, and it wasn't too long after he began to see the world through a different type of lens. It occurred to him that the tough times were for a good reason. Now he realised he has a true calling, that his purpose in life is to educate others on how to overcome mental illness and create a better life. He helps people realise their untapped potential and discover their unique gifts. Christopher's gift to the world is motivating people through the power of storytelling and words, and his mission is to help others who are suffering to overcome mental illness and put an end to suicide and depression once and for all. Hi, Christopher. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hey, Leon. How are you?
Good, good. I'm so excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Yes, please.
Excellent. All right. So do you want to tell us where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Yeah, so what's pretty much happening for me now is I've realized my calling. I've realized what I've been put on this earth to do. And now I'm just taking what I've got inside of me, taking my gift, which is everything I've been through in life. And now I'm just sharing it with people who are going through tough times. I'm now getting speaking gigs, not so much that I can speak on stage and hear my own voice, but so I can actually share my story with people, inspire them, help them to realize that it doesn't matter what you're going through in life. It doesn't matter how low you may be at this moment. You can be anything you want to be. So the cool thing is now I'm getting out there. I'm starting to share my story, starting to share my message, and I'm helping to create change in this world. I remember a saying that to truly change this world, you got to be the change you want to be. So the cool thing is now I'm being that change I want to be. So I'm showing people how they can be anything they want to be in life. So that's the cool thing, and the very rewarding thing for me is I'm getting out there with my message. I'm getting out there inspiring people, and it truly humbles me and makes me quite happy seeing change in people.
Sounds awesome. So what's your actual story? Where have you been to get to this point?
Pretty much you could say I had to go through a roller coaster called life to get to where I am now. And my story was pretty much my childhood. It was fine. Like, my parents showed me love, and it was when I got to a certain age. It was when I got to high school, year 11/year 12, that's when my roller coaster started. What happened was I got expelled from high school. I liked gangster rap. I idolized their lifestyle, and I always wanted to live the life they lived. And to me, I also had a lot of anger in me. I was an angry person, and it didn't take long for me to want to fight. And to me, I thought respect could be earned through my fists. And I believe that's the best way I could earn it. And so the thing is, I got expelled from high school because I knew people in the gangster life. And I actually wanted to be a gangster. And as part of joining a gang, it's either, you know, you have to hurt someone or kill someone. Now, I couldn't take a life. I couldn't kill, even though to me, life, I didn't care about living. I didn't care about dying. So I made the choice that I'm willing to hurt. So I got expelled from high school because I was willing to assault a teacher. And after that, I nearly got a criminal record. I was nearly put in jail. And the police officer said to me, "Chris, you know, it's only because the principal told him not to do it, you'll wreck my life." He said, "You know, I didn't want to," he said, "I didn't do it. Otherwise, I was ready to wreck your life." And to me, that didn't care. I thought, "I don't care. Do what you want. It doesn't worry me." Because back then, I had no cares. And so that, after that, I had to see a psychologist. I got into drinking because I just wanted to drown my sorrows. And I didn't realize the problem still comes back even worse. And so I got into drinking. And then throughout my life, I had battled with depression. And for a long time, I pretended like it was nothing, like it didn't exist. And I remember, even though I was putting out this tough exterior, I was crumbling inside every day. And I remember speaking to a good friend, and there was one night I was ready to kill myself. And he said, "You know, what's up with you, Chris?" He said, "You're a good friend of mine. I can tell you're not your usual self." He said, "What's going on?" I said, "That's a problem, Chris." I said, "That's a problem, Pete." I said, "I'm out of heart." He said, "I don't get you, Chris. You've got such a massive heart to give. You're the one with the biggest heart." I said, "That's the problem. I'm all out of heart. I've got nothing left to give." And so after speaking to him, he made me realize that there's more to life. There's more to life than just going to your grave and just giving up. And I realized in that moment, I had more to offer this world because I was ready to put a gun to my head and blow my brains out. And after that, I still continued on. Like, things were going okay. I wouldn't say great. I was still looking for that love and affection because for a long time I was single. And I'm a guy who needs companionship. I like being with people. I'm a very affectionate guy. I like showing my affections. And so I was still struggling at that time. And I remember one night I was in my room and I got down on my knees and I remember I prayed to God and I said, "God, send me an angel." I said, "Because I can't do this anymore." I said, "I'm drowning here. I'm struggling." And I felt like I was falling and I wasn't being caught. And I said, "If you could just show me a woman to help me to see the love in myself that I can't see," I said, "my life would truly change." And I was just praying for that angel to come into my life. And it's like he heard my prayers because I remember I met for a long time, about 26 years, I had no girlfriend. And I've only ever met one girl in my life, and that was the one God sent to me. And I always tell people, you know, that one girl that he sent to me, she's now my wife. I said, she's my angel from above who taught my heart the meaning of true love. And I met her and we got married. And, you know, you would think everything would go peachy after that. You would think all those trials I went through was over. I didn't realize life had more in store for me. And after we got married, my wife went through depression. And she didn't work for a long time. And we had a house mortgage. And all throughout my life, because I've been very angry, I've been fired from a lot of jobs. And in that last job I was in, when she was going through her depression, they were trying to fire me. And because she also went through depression, she couldn't work. And so it was about 1-2 years where it was just me paying the mortgage. And it put such a strain on our savings that we went down to nothing in the bank account. Not once, but twice. And our house nearly got repossessed and we nearly started living on the streets. And I forgot to mention that 4 months before my wedding, my dad dropped dead in the shower. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know first aid or CPR and I had to bring him back to life. And I knew there he was dead in that moment. And so, yeah, into our marriage, wife went through depression, nearly got our house repossessed. nearly living on the streets, not once but twice. So you can see all these factors is what led me to make the realization, and it had to take a negative moment like my dad dropping dead in the shower that made me realize life is too short living what you don't love. Life is too short being what you're not born to be. And then I realized all my life I've been doing IT and that's not who I am. And then I asked myself, so why did you go through all this, Chris? What's all these lessons? Why were you meant to go through it? And then I realized that I had to go through it because I had to find my true calling, I had to find my true purpose. And I realize now that I went through all this pain and tribulation is because the universe was saying your gift was to help people going through suicide and depression. Your gift was to show people the light, to change their life, because I realized I was right at the bottom. I was at the lowest of lows, and I couldn't be any more lower than that. And that really helped me to realize you can help people going through that moment where they're at their complete lowest. And I can tell you there were some days I just wanted to cry. Some days I couldn't smile, I just wanted to cry. And that's what led me to do what I'm doing now, because I've been through the pain, I've been through the hell, and I want to just help people now.
Did you think it was like a lightning bolt or a slow rumble that instigated you to make those changes, to have that realization that you could help other people and that you'd been through all that trials and tribulations for a reason?
Yeah, I believe the universe sent it to me purposely, not for a quick process. I realize now that the universe, life sent it to me as a journey. And it said, Chris, you need to go on a journey. You need to find out who you really are. And yeah, I realized in that moment that this was a build-up. This was a lead-up to me finding who I really am. And I realized it wasn't a quick journey. It's something I had to go through. And like all self-discoveries, it all takes time.
So once you decided to, okay, this is what I'm meant to do, I've been through all that for a reason, what challenges have you had to face that might have you thought, oh, I feel like throwing in the towel, I just can't keep going to do this?
A lot of the challenges I faced, and the interesting thing, none of these challenges were of my own mindset or of my own thinking, and they were neither of my wife's thinking. A lot of the challenges were projections chucked onto us by other people. A lot of times I was told, you know, why are you giving up your job, Chris? Starting a business, changing lives is a hard thing to do. And so often I was told that, you know, you speak funny. Your voice sounds like there's a problem with you. Are you mentally retarded? Why don't you go do something else? Why would people even want to listen to you? So many times I was told that, you know, businesses are hard. And you want to do suicide and depression, you won't be able to help people. And often, yeah, I was just told, you know, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just live a normal life? And the thing is, I've lived a normal life and it hasn't brought me happiness. It hasn't brought me joy. And the interesting thing is, a lot of the times, a lot of the projections I received, a lot of it was from family. And it was friends that was encouraging me. But yeah, a lot of the times the common ones were, why don't you just give up? Why don't you go back to your 9-to-5 job or day job? And there was a particular moment I remember when I was letting this get to me. And with my speaking, I was told, because in society, we promote instant gratification too much. We're always instant results here, instant results there. And I wasn't seeing the results with my speaking on stage, because I want to share my story and inspire people. And I was getting very down about it. And I was thinking speaking is an instant journey. You get there straight away. I didn't realize speaking takes time for you to evolve. And there was one particular moment where I was at home with my wife And I remember it was day and night, and I was just so down. And she was doing everything she could to bring me up. And she said to me, you know, what's wrong, honey? And I said to her, I can't do this anymore. And she said, I don't get it. What do you mean? I said, I can't do this speaking anymore, honey. I said, I just want to give up. I said, I don't want to do this business anymore. I want to walk away from it, and I'll just take any job. I'll just do anything. And, you know, my wife was confused, and she said, I don't get you. She said, you love speaking. You love speaking because you love helping people, because you want to open up your heart to them and show them that they can be anything they want to be. She said, all you've talked about was being a speaker. All you've talked about was starting this business, really creating, changing this world, making this world a better place. And she said, I could tell you love this. And she said, you want to walk away and do something you don't love. She said, I don't get you. You're a speaker. You inspire people. And I said, that's a problem. I'm not a speaker. Look at me. I don't even have any speaking gigs to show. And she said, speaking is not an instant result. Speaking is a journey that must be traveled over time. She said, you go back to something you don't love, you're never going to be happy. And you're never going to be living out your true calling. And that was a time where I was so close to wanting to just chuck everything away. Everything I ever truly loved. Just because I let other people's opinions get to me.
Mm. So with the naysayers and the people that, you know, weren't supportive, what kept you putting one foot in front of the other? Was it the big vision or?
You could say there were a couple of things. One was the big vision. One was seeing myself inspiring people. What kept me going forward was me imagining before I come onto stage and that all these people have come to see me, and I'm actually grateful to them for they've given me their time. They've given me their attention to come hear me speak. And they want to listen to the words I'm speaking. And just having that imagination in my head really gets me centered. And it really brings me gratitude, because I believe the only way you can keep yourself going when people try to tell you it's impossible, you can't do it, you have to take time aside to count your blessings. You have to take time aside to count your blessings for what you already have and be grateful for what you already got. And I always imagined and just imagined the people giving up their time to come hear me speak. That centered me. That took me back to gratitude. And that made me keep going. However, the biggest thing that's been driving me and kept me going is me having a powerful why. And my why is two-part. The first why is, I'm doing this not because I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this because I want to show all the people that have been put down in their life, all the people that have been told, you won't amount to anything, or you're silly, you're stupid, just stick to a day job, it's too hard to follow your dreams. All the people that have been put down and told that won't amount to anything in their life, my why is I'm doing this for you. Because I want to show you, you can be at the lowest of lows and still reach the mountaintop. So that's my first way. That's what keeps driving me. Seeing all those people that are hurting, I want to show them you can be anything you want to be. You just got to keep believing. You just got to keep striving, keep pushing yourself. And the second why is my wife. And I'm really, really passionate about being a father. And I'm looking forward to holding my baby in my arms. And I don't have kids yet, but my aim is I push myself hard with this business. I actually have more time to spend with my kids. And my why is this. I'm imagining myself, I'm going to the door And this was when I still had the 9-to-5 mindset. I'm going to my job. And my son comes running to me. And he says, "Daddy, Daddy, please don't go to work. Can you please just stay home and play with me?" And I said, "I'm sorry, son. I've got to go to work. I've got to keep this roof over your head. I've got to keep clothes on your body. I've got to make sure you got food in your belly." And as I'm telling him that, I see the tears boiling up in his eyes. And I see him crying and I hear him saying, "Daddy, Daddy, please don't go to work. They're not going to love you like we do. They're just going to chew you up and spit you out." And I can hear, I can see, feel the tears coming down my eyes. And I'm telling my son, I'm sorry, son. I need to make sure I look after you." And I see the tears in his eyes. And then I see my daughter come running. And she's saying, "Daddy, Daddy, please don't go to work. Can you please just play with me?" And I'm saying, "I'm sorry, princess. I want to play with you, but I got to look after you guys." And then my wife comes and she says, "You know what, honey?" She says, "The kids are right." She said, "No one's going to love you like we do. And no one's going to be here for you like we are." She said, "No one's going to catch you when you fall." She said, "We're always going to be here for you, no matter what." And when I see my son, my daughter, my wife, I'm thinking, I've got to do this. I've got to make this a business. I've got to be successful. Because what I noticed with a why, if I made the why about myself, it wouldn't have power. But when you make a why bigger than yourself, and you're doing it for another reason bigger than yourself, you're doing it for another person, then that drives internal motivation in you. And that's what keeps me going. And I tell myself, you know what? I'm doing this for my kids. I'm doing this for my wife. I'm doing this for all the people that have been oppressed, that have been told they don't have what it takes. I want to show you you have what it takes. And every time I'm feeling tired, I hear a voice coming into my head and my kids saying, "Daddy, Daddy, get up, do it for us. Come on, Daddy." And that's what drives me. That's what keeps me going.
Yeah, I can hear the passion. I can hear the passion. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. I really appreciate that. So looking towards the future, what sort of possibilities do you see opening up for you?
The possibilities I see, I can speak on more stages. I can share on a broader scale. I can inspire more people on a larger level. I can do more workshops. I can do more seminars. I can do more conferences. I can also run meetup groups and do that on a regular basis. And the great thing with all this, what I can see, the possibilities that my time gets freed up. And the thing is, I'm doing what I love. And the beautiful thing is, my wife and my kids are with me. And what I see the possibilities is when I'm speaking on stage, when I talk about my wife and my kids will come onto the stage and I'll show the audience what having a powerful why really means. And I can see opportunities to really make legacy of champions, a change in the world that it needs to be. And my goal is to create a big institution, like a wellness academy, you could say. And I can see possibilities of where I can create coaches, where I can get people who are interested in coaching, but only want to do it because they want to help people, not doing it for money, but doing it because they genuinely want to serve. I can then train coaches and mold them into how to be authentic leaders. Lead with a heart and not with a dollar figure in mind. And also with speakers, I can train and mold speakers to speak not because it's about your ego, but speak because it's about your heart and what message you want to inspire people with, what message you want to share with the world. So that's kind of, and, you know, all the possibilities, you know, I'll be able to get into property investing and get into shares.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to create many vehicles. But most importantly, the greatest possibilities I can see is I can create a change where I can truly change this world, make this world a better place, be remembered for years to come, not for what I do, not for my title, however, for who I am and what I did for people. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, I can leave a legacy to my kids. And I want my kids to carry on what I've started.
Yeah, that is extremely powerful. I love how you talk about leading with the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, yeah, I really resonate with that. That's just very, very powerful. Yeah.
That's true.
Okay, let's have a change in pace and do a speed round. How about that?
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
So, do you have a favorite book?
Yes, The Four Agreements.
Oh, yes, good one. Do you have a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
Two mentors, Aaron Longmore and Corinne Reynolds-Tench.
What about a daily ritual that works best for you?
Daily ritual for me is gratitude. Writing five things I have to be grateful for every morning, every night.
What about a favorite food?
Thing is, I love eating, so I like a lot of foods. Favorite food, pad thai.
Okay, sounds good. What about the country or the city? Do you like living in the country or the city better?
I'm kind of a mixture of both. I love, actually, no, I would be country because I like the natural environment and nature.
What's your biggest piece of advice to give to others to help them make change in their life?
The biggest piece of advice I can give is to always follow your heart, to always listen to your heart and do in your heart what feels right for you. Never compare yourself to others or do something just because everyone else is doing it. You were born to be an individual. So follow your heart and do what is your greatest gift that can make the greatest difference in this world, and realize it takes time. And just keep believing in yourself, keep pushing yourself, keep going, and your dreams will come true.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
So last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
I would tell my former self that you're perfect just the way you are, and that you are a gift to the world, and to always just keep believing in yourself no matter what, and to always keep loving yourself no matter what, and realize that true change in this world begins with you, and that if you want to be this change in the world, you have to be that change. And I believe the biggest thing is I would tell myself, you can only give what you have within yourself. So always give what you have. So give love because you have love in yourself. And give hope because you have hope in yourself. But most importantly, give people inspiration because you believe in yourself.
Absolutely beautiful. Love that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story and your passion and, you know, all those little points of what you've been, what's happened to you up until this point now. I really, really appreciate that. And I'm sure our listeners do too. So thank you so much for your valuable time. Christopher, would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
Yeah. The best place to contact me is I've got a business page, Legacy of Champions. So just simply search Legacy of Champions. And you'll find us.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Leanne. I really enjoyed this.
Igniters, Christopher has a truly inspiring purpose. I love his passion to help others through suicide and depression, and that he is the change he wants to be. Going from living a gangster lifestyle and being angry to now being a storyteller and leading with the heart is phenomenal. You can contact Christopher on his Facebook page, Legacy of Champions. If you want to know more about leading an adventurous life and how to put yourself first, go to my website, ignitepodcast.com.